Radio Prague News.
The Czech Interior Ministry is planning to repatriate a group of ethnic Czechs from Ukraine, the Daily Lidové Noviny reports. The embattled Czech president has been greeted by fresh protests in southern Moravia, and the majority of Czechs consider old age pensions to be grossly inadequate. The Czech Ministry of the Interior is planning to repatriate a group of ethnic Czechs from Ukraine, Lidové Noviny reported on Monday. Officials are preparing a plan under which 30 to 50 Volhynia Czechs would be moved to the Czech Republic within a matter of weeks, the newspaper said. They are in the east Ukrainian region of Donetsk, which is controlled by pro-Russian separatists. President Miloš Zeman asked the Minister of the Interior, Milan Chovanec, to help the ethnic Czechs in October, after the Ministry of Foreign Affairs said it would not aid their repatriation. Close to 200 people took to the streets of Brno on Monday to protest against President Miloš Zeman, who is on a three-day visit to the South Moravian region. Visiting the University of Defense, the president was greeted by a hostile crowd holding up symbolic red cards and calling for his resignation. Similar protests are expected to take place in Blansko, Židlochovice and Mikulov. The president has recently come under increasing criticism over his stance on Russia, China and the crisis in Ukraine. President Miloš Zeman said on Monday he would veto a proposed 14% hike in salaries for lawmakers and executive branch officials as of January 2015 if such a bill were approved. The proposal was put forward by the Budget Committee of the Lower House after it won support from deputy groups across the political spectrum. However, it was slammed by the government, which is pushing for a significantly lower salary increase. The president said he considered the proposed 14% salary hike greedy and said deputies should increase their salaries by just 3.5%, which is the salary hike they approved for workers in the public sector next year. 158 babies have been born to women infected with the HIV virus in the Czech Republic, according to figures released by the National Laboratory for HIV and AIDS. Only four of the babies were born with HIV. Seven of the pregnant women had no idea they were HIV positive. All pregnant women in the Czech Republic undergo compulsory testing for HIV in order to better protect the child. The birth is then always conducted by cesarean section, and mothers do not breastfeed. Undetected, the risk of transmitting the virus is 20%. With precautions, it can be lowered to 2%. Experts say that people in high-risk groups often underestimate the risk of having contracted the virus and only find out about it when being tested for other diseases or in the early stages of pregnancy. 86% of Czechs think that old age pensions in the Czech Republic are totally inadequate and fail to cover a person's basic needs, according to the results of a survey conducted by the STEM polling agency. Criticism regarding the size of pensions has gradually been mounting, and the outcome of the latest poll is the highest figure since monitoring of people's perception of pensions started in 1998. Last year, 80% of respondents said they considered old age pensions to be grossly inadequate. The average old age pension in the Czech Republic is 11,276 crowns a month. As of next year, pensions should be raised by, on average, 200 crowns. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Skies should remain cloudy with day temperatures hovering just above zero and nighttime lows dropping to minus 3 degrees Celsius. An alert for icy roads, which have caused considerable traffic problems in Moravia, should remain force until late Tuesday. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Jan Richter. Coming up in today's program, after months of debates, the Czech government has moved to repatriate up to 50 ethnic Czechs from eastern Ukraine. Then we'll have the latest news from the world of Czech sports. And later we meet Mikuláš Karpeta, one of the students who recently painted over Prague's John Lennon wall, a move that angered some people.
It was interesting to see how people reacted on the social networks. We were basically mostly threatened.
All that coming your way, so please stay with us. The Czech government has moved to repatriate between 30 and 50 ethnic Czechs from eastern Ukraine, the Lidové noviny reported on Monday. The newspaper says the Interior Ministry has started verifying the identities of people from the conflict-ridden Donetsk region who have applied for repatriation. If their Czech ancestry is confirmed, they could relocate within a few months. The move comes after months of debates on how many, if any, ethnic Czechs from Ukraine could be repatriated. I discussed the latest plan with Lidové noviny reporter Kateřina Šafaříková.
The initial aim of the Czech president Miloš Zeman was to sort of embark a few tens, if not maybe hundreds, of Czechs living in Ukraine, or ethnic Czechs, but it quite suddenly showed that it would be a problem in the government, since not every coalition party would agree on that, since most of the Czechs living in the west of Ukraine, so to say, in zones where there are no fights, the conflict is only taking place in eastern parts of Ukraine. So the Minister of Interior decided, together with then the Minister of Foreign Affairs and in communication with the Prague Castle, to sort of reduce the scope, or say geographically reduce, the area from which the Czechs then should come and resettle in the Czech Republic, which is indeed the area of Donbas, or region of Donbas, specifically Donetsk, that is under control still, under the so-called pro-Russian separatists, and there are still fights going on.
Well, this looks like quite an elegant solution, I would say, because, of course, the issue of whether or not the Czech Republic should accept Czechs from Ukraine in large numbers has been discussed between the foreign ministry and the prime minister and the president. And the foreign ministry and the prime minister, they have, of course, argued that accepting large numbers of ethnic Czechs from Ukraine might suggest that the Czech government believes that they are indeed at risk there.
It is indeed very elegant and savvy decision. I would agree with that. The thing is, the president wanted to punish with his action, or with the help for ethnic Czechs in Ukraine. He wanted to punish somehow the foreign minister, but they are not in the same line when it comes to foreign policy actions. But when he was talking about helping ethnic Czechs living in the western part of Ukraine, it sort of raised eyebrows elsewhere, and it sparked a rather harsh debate, or difficult debate, within the coalition parties. So I think, according to my knowledge, the Prague Castle, together with the ministers of Interior and of Foreign Affairs respectively, they've agreed upon that reduced solution. They would gain approval of all the government parties, and also it would not secure any negative titles, I think, in the media, since helping not hundreds but tens of ethnic Czechs living in war zones where there is no running water, no electricity, people dying every day, it is an appropriate for the Czech government to help them, since they are ethnic Czechs. And if we talk about 30, maximum 50 people, that is quite easy than thing to sell, if you like, to media, to public opinion, and to even a political opposition.
I was talking there to reporter Kateřina Šafaříková from the daily Lidové noviny. We will, of course, follow the story of the Ukrainian Czechs and their efforts to relocate to the country of their ancestors. But now, Ian Willoughby is in the studio with a roundup of the latest Czech sports news.
We begin today with soccer, and Viktoria Plzeň have got into the winter break in the Czech First Division in pole position. The West Bohemian side have been neck and neck with defending champion Sparta Prague for some time and needed to take all 3 points at Jablonec on Sunday after their main rivals had won 2-0 away at Jihlava. And Plzeň came extremely close to falling behind in the title race, with that match against Jablonec tied at 1-1 for much of the final half hour. But cometh the hour, cometh the defender who hardly ever scores. Indeed, Radim Reznik's 90th-minute in-off-the-post strike was only his sixth goal in over 170 games. What's more, the player was one of several from Pilsen taken ill prior to the game. Coach Miroslav Kobek was unimpressed by his players' performance, but praised their spirit.
Our opponents played well and we played badly, but I've got to take my hat off to our players. We kept it secret beforehand, but every second member of our team has been struck by a virus. The team isn't well, so we had to rely a lot on our strength of will, and that was probably clear to see in the early stages. But sometimes that's the way it goes, and you just have to get over it.
For their part, Jablonec will not be too disappointed going into the winter break. Now featuring the very experienced defensive midfielder Tomáš Hibšman, they are in third spot, nine clear of the rest of the pack, having lost only three games, twice to Plzeň and once to Sparta. Manager Jaroslav Šilhavý says they still have a long way to go before really challenging the top two.
We played way better than Plzeň today, but when it comes to the final phase, combination play and experience, the difference is marked. But it doesn't surprise me. They've played in the Champions League or the Europa League and done really well. We might win one in five games against them, but we are not at a point where we could regularly beat Plzeň or Sparta.
Ice hockey, and in the latest 26th round of the domestic Extraliga on Sunday, leaders Třinec were beaten 4-1 by Sparta Prague, who are third. The latter's city rivals Slavia aren't doing too well, however. After conceding six in their previous two games, Slavia lost 7-4 to Zlín for their fourth defeat in a row. Pardubice, by contrast, have stopped the rut, a 6-4 victory over Litvinov ending a run of five straight defeats for the East Bohemians. Finally, winter sports and the Czech mixed team came ninth in the relay in a Baffalon World Cup event in Sweden's Östersund on Sunday. The Czechs won there last year before winning gold at the Winter Olympics, but this time out, last man Andrej Moravec performed poorly in the shooting, costing the Czechs a podium finish. And that's all the sport for today.
Thank you, Ian Willoughby, for that. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Now, if you have been to Prague, there's a very good chance you've been to the John Lennon Wall, an unofficial tribute to the late Beatle that was once a place of gathering for those opposed to communist rule. But recently, a group of students whitewashed over it. In this edition of One on One, Ian Willoughby asks one of them why.
On the recent 25th anniversary of the start of the Velvet Revolution, a previously unknown street art group named Prague Service made headlines at home and abroad for painting over the murals and graffiti on Prague's John Lennon Wall, leaving it completely white apart from the words "Wall is over." To find out why they did it, I spoke to a member of Prague Service, Mikuláš Karpeta. But we first discussed the origins of the John Lennon Wall, a symbol of freedom in the communist era that is today a tourist attraction.
I think it was because people started to write messages there, and also I believe there was some pub where local dissidents came, so...
Also, I guess it's kind of a quiet corner of Malmstrand, it's a little bit hidden.
It is, yes. And maybe it was also because of the police, because they overpainted the walls, so... They were trying to hide the messages, so people were even more encouraged to write there.
As far as I know, it was a kind of gathering place. Even in the 1970s, people wrote messages and poems. Uh-huh. In the 80s, after the death of John Lennon, it became the John Lennon Wall. There was a portrait of Lennon that was painted over. Do you know how many times did the communists paint over the Lennon Wall in those days?
I don't really know. I think they did not do only that, they also made it like an advertisement place, so they were trying really hard. But it was overpainted in And after the Velvet Revolution many times as well. It was overpainted by another street art group, it was overpainted by the owner itself.
Sorry, what do you mean that the communists made it into an advertisement place?
Well, they made it like a board for posters. So actually then people had to took off the posters and then they could write there something.
The idea of painting over it, whitewashing it, isn't completely new, as you say. But where did you get the idea? What inspired you guys to do it?
I think it was probably seeing the poster of John Lennon's campaign, The War Is Over, when we saw the way it has been done, how simply for us very beautifully it was done, just like white space with one sign, War Is Over. And I believe it immediately took us to the idea, just trying to make the Lennon Wall basically a sort of an art space where it's taken the whole space is taken in one piece of art.
And is it the case really that you were planning to do it for several years?
Yeah, the idea is 3 years old, and I believe it would never happen if our school wouldn't support us, and also we thought it's a great opportunity to do it on the 25th anniversary of Velvet Revolution.
Of course, the date was very significant. Why did you choose to do it on that date, the 17th of November?
Basically because of the symbolical aspect of the sign, The Wall Is Over, was strictly meant symbolically in a matter of either Iron Curtain, Berlin Wall, the downfall of communism. That was the most important meaning of the message. So we did it in the night at 17 November, and we expected that people would take it as a sort of a hooray sign that, yes, we did it, the Iron Curtain's down. So for us it was seriously an anniversary of democracy.
Tell us about the practicalities of doing it, I guess, in one night. It's, I don't know, 6 or 7 meters high, maybe 30, 40 meters long. How did you actually physically do it?
Yeah, that was quite funny. We had to have a generator and another machine that was taking or the color and then spraying it. So we were actually not afraid that police would stop us painting it. We were afraid that they would stop us because of the noise we made, because it was 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning, and both of these machines made noise like two huge cars. There was 10, 12 people. We had to cover everything that we didn't want to paint over. We had a huge ladder that we'd been climbing on, and yeah, it took hour and a half. It was quite a long time.
Tell us about the reaction. I know immediately the Knights of Malta, who own the wall, they threatened legal action, but they dropped that idea. But generally speaking, what kind of reaction did you meet otherwise?
It was very interesting, actually, because we definitely seriously didn't expect that it would create such a huge media hype. We thought that maybe some artistic media would be interested, but otherwise we thought that everybody will just say, okay, that's nice, it's anniversary of revolution, it will be over in 2 days, which it was. So suddenly it was all over the newspapers, all over the TV, and also all over the social networks. So it was interesting to see how people reacted on the social networks. We were basically mostly threatened and people telling you messages like, I'll drown you in white color and tell your parents to start over. And on the other hand, in the TV and in the newspapers, it was generally taken quite nicely, I think. Also, maybe because the owner, the Maltese Knights, after we explained our action, they decided to drop the legal action down. which was very nice of them.
You mentioned the negative reaction of some people on the social networks and social media. Why were they angered so much?
I don't know, really. I think it's probably of the tradition or maybe sort of a rigid thinking about our memories, and the whole world generally is taken basically like a sighty thing. So once you touch it, you are immediately against loads of people. I've probably never seen the wall. I mean, if there wouldn't be the media coverage, nobody would actually know, because it was over in like 5 or 6 hours.
But did people take offense at the idea that you were not respecting this symbol of freedom in the communist days?
I guess so, yes. I think so. And, I mean, also, everybody's telling you that all you wanted to do is get famous. And by writing that, they get you famous. So, I mean, we are a bunch of 4 boys who just decided to do some street art, but we are no professionals. We actually never done something that big, and so we were extremely surprised.
Well, was there a moment where you thought, oops, we've gone too far?
Yeah, maybe when I saw the message that there's a legal action against us, I was a little afraid.
And did the police speak to you?
They did, but yesterday, it was like 2 weeks after, because it's basically just bureaucracy, because you can't, once you put the legal action against somebody, you can't put it down, so they had to speak to me, but otherwise nothing really happened.
I know you are concerned at the idea that the Lenin Wall has simply become a stop on the tourist trail of Prague, but why is that a bad thing?
I don't believe it's necessarily a bad thing. I believe what is bad, that it's only a sightseeing thing. There's no other significance to its wall anymore. And it became a huge business, actually. I mean,
it's on postcards and posters, that kind of thing.
Not only that, I mean, we accidentally talked to 2 young guys who we met there, who were the authors of the last remaining Lenin portraits. And they said they are basically in a huge battle against a local hostel that has a tour that buys, that you pay, I don't know how much, something like 400 or 500, and you get vodka and spray cans. So every week there's a bunch of kids from the hostel who just take the whole over and overpaint it as well. So also because of that, we were sort of, we thought like, yeah, this will happen again and again, so why don't we paint it over for just like a couple of hours?
It must have looked very pure when you finished it, just with the words, "Wall is over." Were you sad to see it being painted on again?
Yeah, I must admit, a little I was. It just looked whole differently, and so I liked it. I mean, I obviously wasn't telling anybody not to do it. It was just obvious that people will start, and it's good. It's just, it was really suddenly very nice for me. Yeah.
Now that the dust has settled on the whole thing, it's all over, would you do it again?
Yes, definitely. I mean, for me, the discussion is probably the most important thing that really happened, and also the attention towards the wall, so absolutely.
Mikuláš Karpeta, one of the students who recently whitewashed Prague's iconic John Lennon Wall, was Ian Willoughby's guest in that edition of One on One. That brings us to the end of our English language program today. Just a reminder that all our programs are available online at radio.cz, and you can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. If you have any comments or questions for us, you can easily get in touch. Contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.